Around the NFL Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast, presented by Intuit QuickBooks, the official sponsor of the NFL. My name is Dan Hansis. I'm coming to you from a city filled with heroes in bunkers. Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What is up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Happy Monday, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
What is the difference between Monday and Saturday or Thursday or any other day at this point? The MO is consistent from day to day.
We didn't do a podcast on Saturday and Sunday, but we're doing them every day this week. Intuit QuickBooks didn't know what they were getting themselves in for. What a bargain we're turning into.
Speaking of which, yeah, I think it's time to go back to the table. And I know they're going to say, well, this is not the time to negotiate. This is the time to negotiate. You paid for, in fact, Ricky Hollywood, how are you doing, by the way?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Well, do you think that this is something to take up with the shadowy league figures? Do we need to be given the Intuit pop five times a week as we're planning to do again this week? I mean, it's a fair question to ask.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah, for sure. I will get on that right away.
All right, great. That's important. Yes, we are back with you for another week as the second wave of free agency is in full swing, and we're going to get you caught up on all the latest news that has occurred since we last were with you, which was Friday. As we've already noted, we're planning to come to you again every day this week, and maybe the pod will be a little shorter than you're used to, but now that we're going every day, we're just going to kind of tinker with some things and, you know, explore the space a little bit in what's in a time where time and space is very confusing. We might as well play around a little bit, right, boys?
Absolutely. Why not? Play with the space.
I love having I thank the listeners for all the feedback, and it's been great to have some function in the world. Like, it's good to have something to do. Ultimately, this is only an hour a day. Like, the listeners are saying it brings a little normalcy to their lives. It brings a little normalcy to mine.
Oh, yeah. You don't need time on your hands and yourself on your mind. That's the last thing you need. This has been healthy for all of us.
I like getting a chance to peer into, for instance, Greg's. I believe maybe that's a living room space. I just saw a female, a woman, walk by in the background. So I wouldn't see that if we were all sitting in Studio 66.
I mean, you know who it was.
I don't know at all.
It's either Emeka or Ellis, my wife or daughter. Those are the only two women in my house. I don't know what you have going on at your house.
The ghost from Three Men and a Baby.
Wow, that reference again for the second time in a month. You didn't see that coming, did you? Also, coming up today, in addition to the news, we're also going to check in. Greg, you wrote a banger. Is it live on the site yet?
It is.
Tell us about it.
I think it's like what's just below banger? Like a solid...
sub-banger.
It's like one of my opposite fields. It's an opposite field single in softball. I'm going to score a run. I'm getting on base. No one needs to call it a hero. Best and worst contracts of free agency. Who got some, but from the team perspective, who got some good values? Who maybe made some bad deals?
Ooh,
I read it. Let me translate this for you. The article is, these are the guys I like and these are the guys I don't like.
No, I mean, that's
yeah, it is.
Much,
it's the same guys you hate got bad contracts and the guys you love got good contracts.
That's not true. You would always say, for instance, I haven't been on Kissing Cousins Corner. I let it with a good contract there. How about that?
Interesting. Best contracts.
Excellent way to sell it, Wes, by the way. Thank you. That's that should keep the listeners plugged in to the end of the show.
All right, boys. I'm happy to hear that everyone's healthy. Erica, you look healthier than ever. I feel like you've been doing something. Are you exfoliating? What's happening with you?
Yeah, not showering every day has actually been pretty nice. So when I do get all, I was going to just say something like hussied up, but I don't know if that's like, if that's allowed. So we'll have to look into that. Going on runs, getting out of the house a little bit, feeling good.
And how are the quarantine beards coming along, gentlemen?
Mark's looks really nice, I got to say. I'll show you.
A little bit. It's a little, look, it's in that sort of... admittedly creepy stage where I just, the people in my own home are wondering where this is going. Can't get a haircut for 2 months either. That's another deep concern of mine.
Greg's is looking decent. You got your patches like normal.
It's problematic. It's ugly. It's more, I'm on Mark's corner too, that the lack of a haircut's going to become a problem sooner than later. Mm.
Dan looks hot, gotta say.
Really? You think it's okay? It's
yeah, I like nice. It. Yeah. I like it. I like it. And Wes looks like he's about to deliver his baby himself.
It's the Hermit starter kit.
You know, Wes, I thought you were joking about that, and then I had a nice conversation with your wife on the phone. It was no hanky-panky, just for the record, Wes.
Thank you for that.
And she said she had legitimately had you going on YouTube to do some type of cursory research into delivering a baby out of a, you know, thing.
Well, this is weighing heavily on her mind. This was the story of our weekend. She's been seeing tweets where a hospital in New York, the husband was not allowed in because there's no room at the end, basically, because of the coronavirus. So she's been researching. She's a little worried that there's not going to be enough room even for the people giving birth. Mm. So she's been looking up alternative places to have a baby. We may have, what is it called? A doula?
A doula.
Yeah, we may have one of those. There may be a birth in the bathtub. We've been told by neighbors that firemen, we saw Lindsay Rhodes over the weekend from 6 feet away, and she told us that her husband has delivered babies. He's a fireman. So 911 might be our best bet, but
you got 2 months, right? It's right. If there's something to be grateful there. If you were like 2 weeks away, that would be an even bigger concern than I'm sure it already is. Jeez.
Well, if it was 2 weeks away, then I would start to worry about it. She's more in the 2 months worrying stage.
Wes, you know, yeah. Ben Liebenberg's wife, A, is a doula, and B, the children that are born underwater are notably calmer individuals. I can attest that my two children were not born underwater, but it's not a terrible strategy. You don't keep them underwater. They are quickly brought out from that. But they're coming from essentially a sack of water inside the mother's body, just to let you know.
I hear you. It feels a little too Los Angeles for me personally, but I don't think I'm going to get much of a vote when it matters.
I'm still hung up on the fact that Lindsay Rhodes' husband, who, by the way, is essentially like a super hot surfer firefighter guy, he's also delivering babies.
Got everything.
That's a good job by Lindsay Rhodes.
He's a five-tool player.
I mean, he's a very lucky man, too. But wow, what a combination right there.
Tall hot fireman, not just
What are you drinking, Dan?
This is actually iced tea, but it does look like whiskey because I'm drinking it out of a whiskey glass.
Okay.
That's what we would expect you to say.
I'm back into, because what you got to do is you got to control the drinking in this situation. And
thanks for your leadership.
There is a temptation to just drink every day during this, but I have now relaxed into more like a weekend drinking scenario and then keeping it sober during the week. You got to have set little, walls for yourself and barriers during this unforeseen time in our lives.
Well, that sounds nice. I don't think a single person viewing this is convinced that's iced tea, but continue on with the narrative.
It's a good idea. We're here Monday afternoon. We'll revisit Friday's show after our fifth straight. See how it's going.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, let's do some news.
Someday you will find me caught beneath the landslide in a champagne supernova in the sky. Wash your hands, you little f***ers.
That is my boy, the eternally great Liam Gallagher, formerly of Oasis, showing people how to wash your hands during the coronavirus pandemic, and he did a fine job, I have to say. And I liked his little message at the end as well.
That takes me back about 25 years.
I had no idea that was actually Liam Gallagher. I just thought it was like a like a bad YouTuber doing a bad Liam Gallagher impression.
He's been all over it recently. I mean, there are certain people out there that are attacking this everyone inside thing, and I don't want to necessarily put names on it, but some people that I found delightful on Twitter, I am simply just muting at this point because too much of anyone is too much. And I could easily come up with a list of 20 to 30 people that are going to get deep sixed from my hemisphere very soon.
At the risk of shamelessly plugging my other podcast, the Throwback Pod, we had our first episode taping over the weekend where we addressed a lot of what's going on in the music pop culture realm. And the Gal Gadot led Imagine song. Did you guys all
that
are
did
you guys
not
plugged
go
in
well.
On this?
Yeah, that was a bomb in the wrong direction.
The celebrities are struggling a little bit because they don't know what to do in their giant houses. If you like cringe comedy, check out Gal Gadot. And is that how you say Godot?
Godot? Godot, I think it is.
Godot, whatever. Leading a parade of celebrities making a fool of themselves, singing Imagine. And then this other thing that's happening, I enjoyed Liam doing it because I find him to be very, very entertaining. But a lot of celebrities they're giving back by showing how they wash their hands, which I feel like is just like a fancy way to show how nice your kitchen is.
Oh, yeah. Look at me. I'm going to go to sink number 8 and, you know, warm, rushing, warm water. Beautiful soaps that cost like $80 a bar, please.
All right, let's get into the news. The Saints made a move over the weekend that definitely helps them. They signed Emmanuel Sanders, formerly of the 49ers, to a 2-year, $16 million deal. This is the same Manny Sanders who got traded from the Broncos to the Niners and then really had a good impact in San Francisco with Jimmy Garoppolo and company. The end of his season was hampered by an injury, but he's already shown he can come back from injury. He made it back from an Achilles in his time with Denver. So he's a guy, he's older, he's 33, but he showed last year he can play. And the Saints, Chris Wessling, were a team that, despite having the magnificent Michael Thomas, really needed another guy to add to that wide receiver group. This feels like a really nice pairing.
Yeah, I love this signing. And I think we spent most of last year saying we needed somebody besides Michael Thomas to step up in this offense. And Jared Cook ended up doing that in the second half of the season when Alvin Kamara was injured. So now you've got Kamara coming back healthy, Michael Thomas, best receiver on the planet, Emmanuel Sanders, Jared Cook. You've got Malcolm Jenkins added to the defense. I feel like with the 49ers losing DeForest Buckner, losing Emmanuel Sanders, by the time training camps open, whenever that happens to be, the Saints are going to be people's consensus pick for the NFC.
They're the safest pick, I think, to make the playoffs in the entire NFL, maybe with the Chiefs. Like, I give Mickey Loomis, their general manager, a lot of credit. They are always the team going into the offseason that people are overly concerned about their salary cap, and then they always manage to make it work by moving a lot of money around. And this contract, Chris Wessling, made the best contracts list. I don't like this slander you gave it right off the top, because it's perfect for a team that, like, is the ultimate win-now team. You got to figure out, like, Emmanuel Sanders is a win-now receiver. He's not going to honk a lot if he doesn't get a lot of targets. He fits in well. He's known as a great team at, like, he's a perfect, like, role player to add to that team.
That's an article for you. Do your list of win now teams this offseason.
Oh, I was going to say, do your list of guys who honk too much.
Ooh, that's a long list.
I mean, that's Thursday's show. We're going to be needing topics. Someone should be writing these down.
I think that something that you see happen in the NFL a little bit is when someone like Sean Payton goes out and faces the 49ers, and in the game last year that was one of the better games we've seen in years, and it's Emmanuel Sanders who torches them for 157 yards, a touchdown receiving, and then throws a 35-yard bomb to Raheem Mostert. It's like, okay, this guy can do a little bit of everything. He's also, you know, in a weird, very weird offseason, a veteran who's been around so many different offenses that you can just sort of count on him to produce right away no matter what they introduce him to.
All right, moving on. Quarterback news. The New England Patriots are obviously a fascination of everyone now in the wake of Tom Brady's decision to sign with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they have to address their quarterback room. Now, Jarrett Stidham is a guy that they seem to like, but everyone, or a lot of people, seem to think, come on, that's not how this is actually going to play out, is it? Who else is going to be in that room? Well, they added someone, Brian Hoyer, the veteran quarterback who I feel like has been with a million teams, and now he's been on the Patriots for a third time. So he comes over and joins that room, essentially replaces Brady's roster spot for the time being. Greg, you are a man who supports the Patriots on some level. Do you believe there is a big splash in store for New England either in the next week or two or in the draft, or is this potentially a real situation with Stidham?
I mean, the only thing that they're going to make a splash in is the price of my house on Stidham Corner going up. I mean, I've been talking about this on the podcast for a while. I thought he was a legitimate part of the equation, and this Brian Hoyer sign makes me think it's over. I mean, they are rolling into 2020, I think, with Hoyer, Stidham, and maybe a rookie to be named later, but this was the strongest sign yet that Stidham is going to be a huge factor. And they don't have much cap space, and it wouldn't surprise me if they draft someone too. But Stidham, I think, is a guy they have to believe in, or else they wouldn't be acting how they're acting. And Hoyer, to me, is like kind of the thing that tells us what they want.
I need somebody to explain to me how the Patriots are not going to be a bad team in 2020. I know they have the greatest coach of all time, but the roster is not impressive, especially on offense. And when we see these teams that go from 10 wins down to 3 or 4 wins, it's because they don't have a quarterback, and it's because the quarterback play is abysmal. And whatever, Jared Stidham had a great preseason. We've seen tons of guys have great preseasons and then flame out and be nothing. I just – this offense gives me no confidence whatsoever.
They got a ways to go.
Yeah, right? They'd had a low wattage roster in many ways last year. And, you know, we could talk about the Vikings all day long for letting people go left and right. And it's not that like stars are leaving New England, but people with key roles from a year ago are all gone. So their draft suddenly becomes super important. And I'm not rooting against the Patriots necessarily, but it would be amazing to see Belichick on a team that simply cannot hang with others and have to deal with that on a week-to-week basis, because I feel like he's kind of giving a gigantic middle finger to everyone and saying, I'm not panicking, I'm not signing stars, I'm letting people go and signing nobody. I mean, you could have had Dalton, you could have gotten Jameis Winston, never felt like a Patriots quarterback to me, but there were guys out there, and Brian Hoyer does not exactly get the season ticket holder rushing to the gate to see 8 of those affairs in Foxborough.
I certainly said it with a dose of glee, because as a fan of an AFC East team that's not the Patriots, this has been a cause for celebration, Tom Brady leaving. But I kind of mean it, that the Patriots aren't special. If you take Tom Brady out of the equation, they're now like so many other teams that are looking for a quarterback. And I think Belichick's greatness as a coach, you know, you're not going to question that. But is there any scenario where this is a truly contending team? I'm talking Super Bowl contending team in 2020, the way it's presently constituted? No. And I think it'd be hard for anyone to argue that. I don't know. Do you?
I would argue it just because football history has teams that you just don't see coming. And they would have to be a team like that. The 2001 Patriots, led by Tom Brady, being one of them. I mean, that was one of the
worst. That was a one in a million thing, you know.
Right.
The Patriots,
no, Patriots
to their credit, are so under the radar.
Right. I'm not saying
they're.
What are
we talking about?
I'm saying there'd be less surprising teams to make a run and be relevant than the team that had the number one defense in the NFL last year, with most of the key people back on that defense, led by, you know, a head coach who's, you know, had a history of finding ways to do things, even with or without Tom Brady. Doesn't mean they're going to be like a Super Bowl team, but the X factor that we're not, you know, talking about is like, how good is Stidham going to be? We have no idea. They don't really know how he's going to be in the regular season, but if he is the week one starter, like, there is absolutely a chance that he's a capable quarterback, or else I don't think they would have as much faith in him as they do. The problem, you know, they just have to have a plan B. Brian Hoyer is making $1 million on this contract, so he is not getting even decent backup money. He is getting, like, I may or may not make the team type of money.
Greg, let me ask you one quick thing. Like, I feel like I know what your answer is going to be, but the Patriots being in essentially cap hell right now, and you can't look at the roster and say there's stars all over the place, like with another team that might be paying 5 or 6 all pros. I mean, do you put any of that at the feet of Belichick, where there's been a number of questionable drafts, number one? The team cannot go out and really sign anyone right now because of the cap space, and I know that we all talk about Belichick being the greatest GM along with everything else, but they're not exactly in a great place to roll out a continuity plan post Tom Brady right now.
No, they're not, and I think they would have been at different points. I guess I would just push back that they probably like their roster more than everyone else does. I mean, I think their defense in terms of, you know, moving from the back to the front, their secondary is very much intact. They do have the defensive player of the year. So we say they don't have stars. They have an offensive line where they have
He's going to fade quickly.
They have an offensive line pairing where they have a center who's been great for them, who'll be returning, one of the best guard combinations in the league, a first round pick at left tackle they love, and one of the better right tackles in the league. So that's like one of the better offensive lines on paper, a deep backfield. I don't think they're like a great team, but I think you could find half the teams in the league with a lot less just pure talent than the Patriots still.
I think
so much positive spin.
I think it's a fair time. And the counter to that is I think it's a fair time to question everything. Even, Mark, your comment just now that Bill Belichick is a great GM. All that was all kind of built on the back of Tom Brady being his quarterback. So I know he's made a lot of shrewd moves throughout his career, but what can he do when he doesn't have the greatest quarterback of all time?
He's also one of the best trade partners. I mean, he has fleeced a billion people with trades and basically taught other teams how to negotiate trades. So I do give him... I don't think he's just... It's not been like
here's the thing. He didn't have the greatest
ghost or something here.
He didn't have the greatest quarterback of all time last year. Stidham is a major question mark in quarterback.
And he was one and done in the playoffs.
Right. Could totally sink their team. Right. But it would have been the best season. They won 12 games is kind of my point. Like, they won 12 games. We can't have it both ways. That we talked about how bad Tom Brady was last year. I mean, it pretty much was accepted on this podcast that at best he was mediocre. And they had an easy schedule, and maybe they're more like a 10-win team. But they found a way to win 12 games. That actually happened. They beat some good teams along the way in that. That shows to me there was kind of a backbone that wasn't all based around the quarterback. The problem is Stidham going to be okay if he's really the guy, or is he going to be a major, major problem? And that's certainly possible.
Yeah, I don't think the Patriots are going to stink, but whether they're actually a team that matters right now is more what I'm talking about.
And you can't have it both ways either. You can't call them the number one defense when you sat here and said in the last 2 months of the season that their defense was getting worse every week and they're no longer dominant.
I don't trust them on defense to be that good again. I think they have it's an asset what they have on defense. I expect them to be better than average, but you're right. I don't expect them to be nearly that good. Their offense is going to have to be better.
I don't think any of us have asked this question. Greg, how are you? How are you holding up? I mean, in addition to the rest of the world upside down, the Patriots obviously are matching the times that they live in. Even the Red Sox lose Chris Sale to Tommy John surgery.
Well, that one really hurt in the Rosenthal household. It was like we had a hard time getting up that morning.
I mean, how are you?
I'm good. It's funny. Okay. Some of the listeners, and you said I had an unemotional response to Brady leaving, and I feel so differently. Like, gratitude is an emotion. And I'm not just saying that. Like, I feel that more than ever right now, not about the Patriots, but aren't the five, like, haven't you guys thought a lot about how lucky we are during this last week or two compared to, like, all the people out there, many of whom we know and don't, who are a lot more vulnerable? You know what I mean? Like, we have jobs that are paying us.
Well, you're kind of taking this in a different direction, Greg.
No, but I feel the same thing.
I was joking around.
I feel the same thing about the Patriots. Like, they could go 0-16 forever, and I'd be grateful for what they gave.
I think
right?
That's you do occasionally have a disconnect with the larger Patriots fan base, and I think you just delved into a disconnect right there with the 0-16 forever. I'm not sure you're going to get too many to sign up for that in New England.
I you're a very optimistic Jets fan, Dan, and I was always kind of the same way when the Patriots were bad or the Red Sox are bad. It's the same way people are, like, I don't know, the people that have, like, full-time jobs and everything that are whining. I don't know.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you're doing great. The Patriots also part ways with Steven Gostkowski, so the end of an era at the quarterback and the kicker position. He'd been there forever. He's 36 years old, missed the end of last year with a hip surgery, seemed to be trending in the wrong direction in general as he aged. So this was probably a pretty easy decision that saved some money for the Pats. So that is another position that has some unrest. Who was their kicker last year? At the end?
Folk Hero.
Wonder if he's back.
They had like eight of them.
Yeah.
Really didn't expect the guy on Kicker Corner to be asking who the Patriots kicker was last year.
Yeeks.
You know what? My mind is a little scattered right now, I have to admit. In other former
iced tea.
In other former Patriots news, Jeremy Fowler of ESPN reports that the Colts intend to keep Jacoby Brissett. Jake Brissett, who, of course, was the starting quarterback last year after Andrew Luck's surprise retirement, would figure now to slide into the number two role behind Phillip Rivers, who signed the one-year $25 million deal to join the Colts in the short term. So I even read, and Peter King of NBC wrote that it wasn't even, you know, beyond reason that Jake Brissett could be the future answer in Indy. I don't buy that at all. I don't think there's any going back once you move away from him for a year or however long this lasts with Phillip Rivers. But he makes so much sense to me as their number two.
Yeah, when you asked me to embed with the Colts at the press conference. I told you what was going on with Jacoby Brissett.
You did.
They love him as a human being. They just don't want him to be their starting quarterback in 2020. And I think they still believe in his development, too. And they are year-to-year at quarterback. Rivers has 1 year, $25 million, with none of that money pushed into the future. I think if he plays the way he did last year in Los Angeles, he's gone. And maybe they go back to Brissett and draft another guy. But it would not surprise me to see Brissett under center next year.
I mean, they've also given away their first-round picks. So if they wanted to make some sort of splash and get one of these rookies in the first round, they can't do it. They got DeForest Buckner instead.
Right. Brissett was a guy, their contract, I know they love him, but I think if they didn't have that contract where all of his money almost was guaranteed this year, that they would have gotten rid of him. They wouldn't be paying him $16 million to be someone's backup. But he's one of those guys that it would have been more costly to get rid of him than it would be to keep him. And if you're in that scenario, he's not going to be a pain in the locker room. He is a good guy. He is a great backup quarterback at the very least, so why not just keep old Jake around? I'm not buying he's anyone's quarterback of the future. This guy's 28 or 9 years old. He's almost as sneaky old as Taysom Hill.
Ouch.
Well, I don't know if he's the backup or the quarterback
shots
of the future,
fired.
But they could find themselves in a situation next year where he's their best option.
Right, and he's been there for 3 years. That's the thing. When they talk about his development, I mean, he's been on that team for 3 seasons now. It's not like he just got there.
I would think Jake Brissett becoming their quarterback again would be a last case scenario for them, because they said it at the end of the regular season that they got a huge sample size of Brissett and he didn't do enough for them. So what would sitting him on the bench for a year, bringing him back, make him their answer quarterback, unless it was an absolute necessity where they couldn't find anyone else to play the position?
Yep, makes sense.
All right, more quarterback news. The Panthers trade Kyle Allen to the Redskins. Did we see Kyle Allen in London? Was that the quarterback when they beat the Bucks?
Indeed.
Yes. Speaking of London, we were at a somewhat historic game, because in that game where the Panthers beat the Bucks, in that same Peter King piece I alluded to a few minutes ago, that was the game where the Bucks internally were like, oh no, we can't, this Winston thing's not going to work, when he threw 5 picks and had 2 fumbles. So we were there. We could always say we were there.
It was an intense melt job, and we were like on the sideline attempting to do sideline reporting in one of the last
stadiums
ever.
We pulled it off,
but I mean, to be 30, 40 yards away from watching one of the more intense quarterback melts of all time was was memorable.
It sure was. Anyway, Kyle Allen had his moment, and I think it kind of crested in that game in London where they had, I think, had won 4 or 5 or something along those lines, and then he kind of revealed himself to be not maybe the answer. So Tom Pelissero reported the Panthers trade Allen to the Redskins. Per a source informed of the situation, the Redskins are sending a 5th-round pick back in exchange for Allen. The trade comes after the Panthers sign XFL star P.J. Walker, who lit up that league in its abbreviated first season. So some musical chairs in the backup positions for two squads.
It's great news for Dwayne Haskins. You know, we talked about, where is Jameis Winston going to land? Are there some spots you could see for Andy Dalton, where a legit competition come in? We said Washington, and this makes me think they're not going that route. And Kyle Allen supposedly might get a chance to compete with Dwayne Haskins a little bit, or be a guy that's there if Haskins struggles, because Ron Rivera likes him. But give me a break. If they're going to Kyle Allen, that is saying goodnight to the Dwayne Haskins era.
I think it's interesting that, you know, if you're Ron Rivera, he seems to want to sign every Panthers player he can, and Brandon Bean up in Buffalo keeps stealing these Panthers players away for Sean McDermott, and there's this little inner NFC war. I thought it was interesting also to see Lewis Riddick on Twitter suggest that PJ Walker, who really was pretty awesome in Houston with the XFL, I don't know what you can say the competition was, that he thought he might steal snaps and starts away ultimately from Teddy Bridgewater this year. I'll wait to see it, but he is an interesting player.
In other news, the New York Giants have added some depth to their backfield by way of Deion Lewis, the 29-year-old running back who was cut loose by the Titans after this season. It's a 1-year deal. Saquon Barkley, obviously the man there, but now Deion Lewis joins that team. In other news, Nelson Aguilar signs a one-year contract with the Raiders. The Raiders! And Aguilar, who had his moments in Philly, but really could never win the trust of the fans and apparently of the coaching staff and front office because of his poor pair of hands. He now gets a fresh start with the Raiders, who are still looking to improve on that wide receiver group that just got killed by Antonio Brown going nuts. So that a look for the Raiders to address that in the draft.
Well, I feel like after 5 years of Nelson Aguilar, the one thing that I feel like I have a good sense of is that he can only be a good receiver when he's playing primarily in the slot. That's when the Super Bowl year, when he had a good year, he was playing the slot. And the Raiders have Greg's boy Hunter Renfro there. I don't like him as the number two receiver playing outside.
Mm. They need some more. They need some more receivers. I mean, they have signed just about everyone possible in the offseason. Like Mike Mayock's getting busy. Eli Apple, Corey Littleton, Nick Kwiatkowski, Carl Nassib, Malik Collins, Aguilar, Witten, Mariota. Like, they have signed a little bit of everything. But the one position that was probably the most desperate was receiver. And Aguilar isn't really doing a lot for me.
Mm-mm, neither. Nor is Jason Witten at the tight end option. But they have some pieces there as well. Greg, did Hunter Renfro's rookie season, well, not spectacular, but certainly productive from where he's taken in the draft, did that change how you feel about rookies with suspect hairlines?
No, I think that's a red flag. I mean, you're not going to be respected in the locker room. And my thing with Renfro is just throwing the ball to him early in the season was wildly inefficient. And he played quite well down the stretch. I'm not giving up. I'm not saying that this guy's going to be great, though. Let's calm down.
So you're not do a lot with your hair these days, too. I mean, we've had people couched inside our own network that we went to a few media summits. And I can think of one individual who suddenly, after years of being, I thought, bald, showed up with a thick, full head of hair out of nowhere. And, yeah. You know, you got
that
some
mean,
money.
Jason Witten is an example right on the Raiders of the creative ways you can handle things.
Greg, did you say you're not giving up on Hunter Renfro?
Yeah, exactly.
Finally in the news, ESPN says no thank you to, Peyton Manning says no thank you to ESPN. The Post has learned. Sources, according to Andrew Marchand, who is just all over this story for the Post, sources say the overriding factor was whether Manning finally wanted to enter the broadcast booth and commit to the weekly schedule in the fall. The answer remains no. So from where we were a few weeks ago when it was very exciting, the thought of Al Michaels and Peyton Manning being the Monday night dream team, and Mike Tirico getting his shot on Sunday night earlier than expected with Chris Collinsworth for NBC. None of that's happening. Al remains with NBC and Collinsworth and ESPN. I don't know where they go, quite honestly, because it's clear they want to make a change, but they don't have a solution right now. And if you're Booger and Tessitore, it's obvious, you know, it's a business, and that, I guess it's hard not to take it personally, but they are publicly, at least it's being publicly reported, trying to replace you. Can you bring those guys back? How does it work? I don't know. We're going to find out.
Kurt Warner was reportedly their second option. I think Marchand had that as well, so maybe we'll see him, and I've said this before, but I've liked when he's done a playoff game here and there. The Saturday night games with Rich Eisen, and I think Kurt Warner's done a really good job.
He does great work on radio, too, and I think the difference between Kurt Warner and Peyton Manning is that Kurt Warner has discovered that he enjoys broadcasting football. I get that Peyton Manning keeps getting matched with these dream roles, you know, years on end, but I don't get any sense that Peyton Manning has any real innate desire to be a color analyst for the NFL. I mean, is there any hint that that's the case?
No.
Well, not so far. Not so far. Maybe in time, but at this point, no. And ESPN is probably pretty bummed about it. Wes, did you say Andrew Marchand? You have that on authority, or are you just going with a alternate reading of his name?
I'm just going by how my history of seeing that name pronounced.
Marchand.
I think it's actually Marchando. I mean, that's the root where it came from the old country.
Ricky, I could be dead wrong.
Can you get on this, Ricky? I think it's Andrew Marchand. Wes says it is Andrew Marchand.
Yeah. I think you're both right.
No, I need you to do research on this.
Case solved.
Reach out to the New York Post, please.
Okay, yeah, I'm on it.
Okay, great. And that's what's happening in the news. All right. Mark, I wanted to touch base with you on something because okay. I know there's been a lot of questions about you and your Airbnb setup. Well, now we have an update on the situation from Simone Sessler on Twitter. A big thank you to Mark Sessler for figuring out how we can both work and homeschool our boys. I took over his home office and we got a cheap Airbnb studio around the corner as a quiet office space to podcast and take turns getting breaks. We both homeschool the boys. My hero. Wow.
Wait, she wrote My Hero or did
she
you
wrote it?
That?
She wrote that.
What do I need
that.
To add to that?
Now, the initial thought, and this is fair or unfair, is that you had something to do with this tweet. Yes, sir.
Well, that was your initial thought. And I
said fair or unfair.
You weighed into that degree. I think it's unfair because, you know,
I did reply to Simone, okay, Mark.
Yeah, I saw that. And I fire back at you if there were kernels of that that were true. But here's the thing. The plan played out in a perfect way because I needed it, you know, almost entirely when free agency was in its frenzy period. Mm-hmm. And we have tried to figure out how to keep this house calm. Currently, I'm in what used to be a bedroom. It now just looks like a ramshackle northern quadrant of Iran. But I have the door locked.
You're doing a nice job with it.
I mean, you got a whole setup behind you. Right. I haven't put in any work into that in a week and a half, and you got yours looking beautiful.
It tracks back to being, caring about the show and being a professional. But the Airbnb thing for Simone's side of it, paid incredible dividends from the Friday through Sunday period where I, you know, as any good husband would try to do, get out of here. You've been dealing with these kids for, you know, 4 or 5 days. And we're I think, like with a lot of people, I'm with Greg. I'm not trying to complain about anything. I've kind of enjoyed homeschooling them a little bit. Now, then it gets to be a little bit too much. But they are here 24/7. They're not allowed to wander the streets, obviously. So we're just trying to figure it out. And that was an incredible investment for the 1.5 week period. It worked. I would suggest
it.
Well, we have it for a couple more days, but it's lost its base function other than I'm going to give her another night off because it's just, you know, you have these little kids. They wake up at like 6 o'clock in the morning. Well, who needs that?
How far away is it?
I could walk there in 5 minutes. Hmm. It is literally, I could also see NFL Network out the window of it. And I initially thought we were going to have to go into this. Remember, we were going to go into the studio and all this stuff. And then society just said, everything is over. And so the proximity mattered less.
Because you know, one of the things people are stressing here during all this social distancing is you got to keep that connection going. And that's not just with people that you know, over the phone or anything. That's with your wife. And I'm thinking, these kids fall asleep. It's only 5 minutes away.
You never know. You never know.
Once they're asleep, you know.
It's a crafty plan, Greg. In our practice, we don't typically leave the 9 and 7 year olds.
I believe it's also
by themselves in the house.
An illegal plan, I would say, in terms of how the law sees child rearing.
As Greg pointed out, though, last show, the LA police seem to have vanished entirely. So I think you could probably get away. I've not seen a policeman anywhere. Have you?
Not every romantic rendezvous is above board as far as the law is concerned. Sometimes you got to live a little dangerously, you know.
Yeah, thank you.
That's true. There would be guilt, though, if you did do that and you return and your youngest, say, has a horrific nightmare and he's stumbling around the house looking for a parent to hold.
Yeah, I'd feel tad guilty. I don't know if that I'd question my own inner being.
Let's calm down about the idea of, you know, sometimes love and passion can't be held by laws. I mean, the kids need you.
I don't think the coronavirus and what's happening to our country has done an incredible amount for people's marriage libido scenarios in general. I mean, I'm just going to suggest it's not a high point in the.
Well, you got that back house though. I forgot about that.
The shack.
Well, you
can go to the shack and get away with it, is because you're still on the property, and you know. Anyway.
No comment.
These are all possibilities for you, buddy. Let's get into it. Greg wrote a sub banger by his own estimation. Here's the headline. 2020 NFL free agency's best contracts, Cousins extension. Smart.
I mean,
those headline guys have not.
The headlines are always revealed to me by you, Dan. But yes.
Wait, this is one of the. I'm reading this now, and I don't know how they came up with this, but they're a wonderful editing team. Love them.
It's like whatever can get the most controversy. That's got to be the headline.
Let's get into it, Greg. You mentioned Kirk Cousins. You know, you could look at it two ways, Greg, with Cousins. It's a nice deal. It keeps stability at the position. There might be other people, in fact, there are, that say that this guy is, you know, fairly pedestrian and he hasn't been able to get him over the hump in the first 2 years. And now you're essentially tying yourself to him for half a decade. Speak to that.
I liked it just from a financial point of view because it only added 1 year of guaranteed money. It's 2 years, $66 million, but it only, if they wanted to, they could get out of it out of 2 years. So it's not half a decade. It's basically just tacking one extra year on. But then you don't have to go into the season with all the questions of, is he a franchise quarterback or not? It's like they've made a decision. They saved $10 million in cap space by doing the move. They were decisive about it. And, when the contract ends, and he might not get another one from Minnesota, like it wouldn't surprise me if he's not in the top 10 highest paid quarterbacks in the league. So it's really not like a crazy amount of money anyways.
I stand in awe of your ability to generate strong feelings one way or another on that contract.
Mm. I just like the move. Here's the reason why
Wes is not on board with this segment.
Because I'm getting like Kirk Cousins got another $30 million.
Because I've killed and I hate what the Cowboys have done and I hate what the Redskins did with Cousins last time. And this is the opposite of that when they would have had every reason to do that. That it would have cost them more money in the long run to wait around and been a little bit of a problem. Instead, you open up cap space now. I think the Cowboys are going to pay for it.
Another move you liked, Greg, Jason Hargrave, formerly of the Steelers, joins an Eagles defense that was not lacking guys that can get it done on the defensive line, but now they are, you know, downright scary with Hargrave involved.
Yeah, Wes talked up the Eagles moves the other day, and I totally agreed. It's about getting, like, impact players, and I like teams that have an identity, and they build strength on strength, and that defensive line is their strength. Malik Jackson's going to be healthy again next year, so you have Jackson, Hargrave, Fletcher Cox, Derek Barnett. It's a good
Brandon
group.
Graham.
And I don't think it was too expensive to get them either, at least compared to other defensive linemen in free agency.
What's a move you hated?
Ooh.
What's going on with the iced tea, Dan?
Wes, what did you not like about it? Let's hear that.
I mean, of course Greg's going to say he hated Todd Gurley. You've always hated him. Never credited him as a good running back. You've never liked Robert Quinn. Like, all these guys, of course, they're on your list. Vic Beasley, of course, is on your list.
See, I wouldn't expect to remember who I like or don't like, but Quinn has been one of my favorite players, I would say, over the last 5 or 6 years.
You've bashed him every year for the last 3 or 4 years. And then when he played lights out, absolutely lights out with the Cowboys last year,
yep.
Like that didn't seem to factor into your analysis.
It did, but there's a reason why he cost $5 million on a one-year contract the year before and why he's been on so many different teams. 5 straight years, he's had an injury problem until last year. So are you going to trust the 4 years before that, or are you going to trust just last year?
I'm going to trust the last time I saw him, which was unblockable.
Well, the Bears agree with you. They must have felt the same about Jimmy Graham. You know, the last time they saw him, he had like a 30-yard catch. And you'll see that again like once every 2 years.
I don't know what they
were
looking at with Jimmy Graham.
The playoff game, he had a 30-yard catch. I think it was the only one all year. And they were like, wow, that guy must be great.
How long did it take him to cover those 30 yards?
So much
2.5 minutes, I believe. I timed it.
Jimmy Graham.
All right, Wes, what else did you hate about what Greg wrote?
That's it. Just the part where I knew he would bash Todd Gurley and Robert Quinn.
Well, what is the instinct to, okay, the Falcons have like no cap space relatively, and that's what they're saving it for? Like, why do you have to pay Todd Gurley $6 million? I don't
get it.
Because that's what the draft's
for. You don't
have
to, but I understand the low risk of that. Like, 1 year, $6 million for a guy who...
That's fair.
Another year removed, and it's not like he even had surgery. What if he just flashes that form again? What if he gets to be like 85% of what he was when he was offensive player of the year? Now you've got a great offense in Atlanta.
I will give this to Greg. If someone assigned me the chore of coming up financially with the best and worst contracts, I'd be a child blindfolded in the woods in the middle of the night. I have no idea how to write that. So I think Greg was the right person to author this.
It'd be like children searching the Los Angeles streets looking for their parents. You're out at the motel.
It's also like, yeah, go ahead, Wes.
I would say it's well-reasoned and well-written. I just, you know, I got to have something for the show where I rip on Greg's, you know, the same guys he always hates are on here again.
And also,
pan down, and Wes has a loaded gun in his right hand, so I don't, I'd get out of this as quick as possible.
Our editor, Phil Spector, you know, he has me working on power rankings for tomorrow. It's kind of similar, Greg, though, also in a good way, that is, you can't be right or wrong with this.
Yeah. Well, I looked at last year's list that I made, and believe me, you can be wrong. There are some whoppers. Zadarius Smith was on the worst contracts list. That might have been the best free agency signing of all time.
You can't be right or wrong on the day you publish it.
No.
That's fair. Randall Cobb, come at me. That's what I feel pretty strong about, by the way. That's a terrible contract. That was like, we just traded DeAndre Hopkins, and he was our plan, and we're just going to pay him whatever he wants. Come on.
Does it hurt you a little bit now? NFL Network shut down. This would have been a great little seg for you to have your tie on and the pocket square, and you'd be going through all these with Siciliano or money, and it'd be a real moment for you, and it kind of, it's out the door.
Well, how have those moments really made an impact in the world at large previously? I don't know if it would have been a moment as you described it.
more personal moment because you.
By the way,
you're going through a lot.
Searching for programming, I can think of an hour long show that we could offer daily,
there
5 days a week. Why are we failing to drum up interest with these people walking around the third floor? We have no idea. Where do we get contact? Let's replay Tom Brady's 2008 Week 8 victory 4 times in a row. I don't know.
You could have picked any year except 2008, you know.
Well, that's...
Nothing beats.
That would be something.
How did you pull that off, Mark?
I don't know, because I probably just argued against my own point right there.
Nothing for me will ever beat what they had on the air Friday. It was called the Jameis Winston Showcase.
What?
I just love that.
Free agency showcase.
Oof. Gotta do well, that.
Well, that was a tough spot. That was the night before, because I was supposed to be on Now on Friday afternoon, last Friday, and watching our mayor, Eric Garcetti, announce that we're now in our shutdown. That's like the only time the mayor is ever going to tell me that my hit has been canceled for the next
That's true. Don't need to wait for the internal email on that one. Finally, before we go today, so check it out, NFL.com/Rosenthal. Was anyone else alarmed by Ben Roethlisberger's appearance?
Yes.
Let's listen to a little bit of Big Ben, Ricky, if we could.
Wouldn't the Steelers be?
Hey, everyone. Ben Roethlisberger here. Just wanted to take a moment to make a quick video to let everyone know that we're doing well here, locked down in the house, and let everyone know we're thinking about them and praying for everyone. And if you absolutely have to leave your house, which we encourage not doing, but if you have to, I just hope everyone practices good social distancing, 6-8 feet away from everyone. But if you're locked down in your house like we are, there's a lot of fun things that you can do and figure out. We spent the morning figuring out curriculum for the next few weeks of.
And he just goes on and on. And it's funny how
and there's some other fun
he expected everyone to not be like thinking only about what was going on with his beard and his face and his hair.
Yeah, it's
good. Yeah, I think he could take a tip from you, Dan, because I'm looking at the overall presentation, and a little bit of Redken up top might turn that from trapped mountain man to swell and trim the beard a little. But his message is very nice, but I find his appearance to be
awesome.
From 10 years from now, I would, if someone said this is from 2031, I'd be like, oh yeah, it is.
Yeah, he's still talking, by the way. He could also use the Redken, would be fine because he could use a little style up top. But what about Greg's beard oil?
Like to take a minute to
yeah, I mean,
sculpt that thing.
He looks like an afternoon regular at Huckapoo's. I think I've had many a Jaeger bomb with this guy.
I mean, he looks like he could play right guard. That's the elephant in the room. And then he's cutting his own hair. That much is clear. If you look at the top, he is cutting his own hair.
Was that a figure of speech, or are you actually calling Big Ben an elephant in the room?
Well, why do you think he's got the beard? He was the only quarterback with multiple chins, so he had to cover it up.
Yeah, right.
He is, you know, and not trying to be mean, you know, I'm a man of generous carriage myself, but like, he's over 300 pounds, right?
Well, it's like 70 of that is in his beard hair.
I didn't see the rest of the body. For me to make that claim, I'd want him to reveal the rest of what's happening with the body.
He could be he could be a guy, maybe just he gains it in the face. I mean, it's possible. But we don't have to worry about him blocking any of us because he's already blocked all of us and the rest
of
the internet.
That is true. I'm looking forward to the world returning to normal and there being a 2020 season. But then after that, I'm looking forward to training camp and Big Ben shows up and he's cut out of marble. That's like, that would be one of the great shocks. And I would be so pumped up. Like Brad Pitt on the roof in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood when he takes the shirt off. Right, Mark?
Mm. Yeah, Brad Pitt looks, he fit that scene. I don't think you're going to get that from Big Ben. And I wouldn't, if I had a house, I wouldn't put Big Ben on my roof because I'm not sure that he doesn't go right through it at this point. So I don't need, you can't even get a construction man to your house at this point. So no thanks.
Who is, Wes, you're a great historian of the game. Who is the last plus-sized quarterback to thrive?
Oh, to thrive?
Yeah.
Oh, you might have to go back to like Sonny Jurgensen for that. But I mean, the first guy you think of is the Pillsbury Throwboy, right?
Of course, rest in peace.
Rest in peace. Yeah. Yep. I think Sonny Jurgensen might be.
I said thrive.
Yeah, you got to go back to the 70s probably. I don't know about any 80s. From the time they started getting millions of dollars, I don't think you can come to camp like 300 pounds anymore.
Mm. Well, it's a fascinating subplot around the Steelers. And just trim it up, Ben. That's all. Just trim it up. I mean, we're growing out our beards too, but I don't know. You can't let it get scraggly like that because you start to look a little nuts after a while.
A little bit of self-care.
Yeah, you're not going to walk over his bridge.
No. Mm. No. Somebody else have a bridge joke? All right. Good stuff, guys. We will be back tomorrow with another show, and we will track what's going on in the NFL. And that is good advice, I will say, though, from Big Ben, to continue practicing your social distancing and keeping everyone safe. Oh, my God.
And meanwhile, an animal is attacking somebody.
Come on, Ricky, clean it up.
That's what's his name? Old Pugo?
Thor.
Pugo.
Thor. I'm muting my mic so you can't hear him. But
all Pugo.
I wanted to call him Toto, but it's not Toto. It's
I guess it's
Thor.
That time because Walker is
hey,
approaching
Walker.
Too.
There he is. Hey, buddy.
The other day, he was doing a podcast by himself. It was about football. It was about animals. But he likes the microphone setup.
I'll subscribe.
Hello.
All right. I like that.
Very good.
Very clearly pronounced. Very, very good job.
Speaks directly into the mic. That's one of the first tenets of broadcasting. All right, guys. Ricky, let's do this again tomorrow. And until then, this has been the Around the NFL podcast presented by Intuit QuickBooks, the official sponsor of the NFL. This is Dan Hansa signing off for The Quiet Storm, The Mailman, The Old Boss, The Lil Boss, and Ricky Hollywood behind the glass. Until Tuesday.
That was the end.
Yeah.
Well, we're here. We're just all gonna say bye. I don't know if there's anything left to say.
Hello. 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 Hello.
Yeah, what do you want to talk about on your podcast, Walker?
Patriots.
You want to talk about the Patriots? I know I don't want to tell Walker that he's becoming a Patriots fan at like the precise worst time.
Hello. Hello.
All right.
Patriots.
Who likes the Eagles?
My sister.
Yeah.
She also likes the Rams.
She likes the Rams and the Chargers probably the best now, and maybe the Bucks and Eagles next. What did you think about Tom Brady, Walker?
No.
You weren't happy? All right.